It's a freedom machine like no other, starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break. But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Jane Tabachnik. Jane is a digital strategist and one of Fast Company's top 100 people online. We're going to talk about how a book can scale your lead generation. So stay tuned because we're going to get to that in a minute. Now, as you know, you can't do it all. You're going to hear me say that over and over and over again. There is no way as a business owner that you can know it all, be it all, do it all, and have time to live the rest of your life. And there's also no way that you can be it all and do it all perfectly, excellently, or even really good. So it's important to find other people or tools to do some of the heavy lifting for you. Now, if you're going to scale, there are a couple of things you need to keep in mind. You need to be able to reach more than one person at a time. Second, you need to get the word out in a way that doesn't keep taking up your time. And finally, ideally, you want to be able to reach people in a way that pre-sells them, that lets you command larger fees so that you're getting a return on investment for the time you put in. And that's what we call leverage. That's getting that extra return on investment for the time and effort that you've put in. And when you think about a book, it is a method of communication. It's a method of communication, frankly, in some ways, as old as, you know, fire signals in ancient China. I mention that only because I saw Lord of the Rings on television recently. And in, you know, thousands of years ago, they had similar systems where you're trying to communicate ideas across great distances to multitudes of people. So with fire signals, what are you trying to communicate? You're either trying to communicate, hello, things are going well. And they had this during the Han Dynasty. There were two different types of signals. One's given at regular intervals to tell you, okay, everything's good. But there's another kind of signal when suspicious people are coming. And depending on how many suspicious people, how many enemies are coming, they'll change the signal so that people can know, well, how many reinforcements do we need? What's happening in the way of troops? What kind of help do we need? And so that even from thousands of years ago, they understood the power of leverage. If you try to communicate one person at a time, hey, we have a lot of enemies on our border right now, the city will be overrun. So they understood we needed to get a message out to a lot of people across a distance. And that's very often what a book can do. And ultimately, isn't that what you want your marketing efforts to do overall? Help you touch a lot of people that you might not have the time to meet in person and have a deep conversation with. And you want to be able to attract them to you. And that is the power of leverage. And it's also why I'm looking forward to talking with our guest this week. So a little bit about Jane Tabachnik. Jane is a digital strategist who lives at the intersection of marketing, content, and PR. Like getting that word out. She teaches entrepreneurs and introverts how to gain visibility and instant expert status, package their expertise for profit, and become published best-selling authors. She's the author of Publicity for Introverts and has been named one of the top 100 people online by Fast Company. In her spare time, Jane is working on perfecting her gluten-free baking, and I can't wait to taste it. And we're delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough today.
Thanks for having me.
One of the things that you and I had talked about before this call was really getting clear when you're an owner of a business, what side you're on. Are you doing the service delivery or are you doing the lead generation? And can also from your own experience, both working with business owners and being one yourself, can you talk a little bit about why that matters? Why can't I do both?
Sure. Well, we hear a lot about work-life balance with entrepreneurs, but I think there's also a balance within your business itself. And certainly when you're starting out, you wear a number of different hats, but there comes a point in the business where you really need to make a decision which of the skill sets you're better at, whether it is the delivery, you know, the service delivery and implementation, or being the front face of the business, doing the business development, and being out there bringing in new business. And I really think that you can't continue to split yourself, and you need to decide where your strength is and then either find a team to do the implementation or a team to do your business development and stick to one side and really own that side. Of course, you'll have to have oversight on the other half, but I think you really find that you're stronger in the one point and your business will really grow more quickly once you make that decision and put things in place to support that.
Mm-hmm. And you've described yourself as an orchestra leader. Can you talk a little just about which side you ended up on in your business and what particular strength led you to that decision?
Sure. So for a long time, I was really wearing both hats, and it burns you out. You know, you really get to the point, I mean, you burn out, and it's really challenging. And you also, you know, if you're out all day networking on appointments, then when is the work getting done? So you're coming home, you've got work and deadlines, and, you know, you're not working, either having fun in your business anymore or working at your best times and, you know, with your most concentrated best efforts. So there really comes a point where you need to make that decision. So I really realized that I needed to be the one who was out there networking, being the face of the business. And as you said, I call myself the orchestra leader because as a business owner, you're like a project manager and you're overseeing all the different departments. And I'm more visual than auditory, but yet I just like that analogy of the orchestra leader and having all the different parts play together and come in at the right times and end up making beautiful music and getting great results for your clients. So that is a role that I still have to wear as the business owner to some extent, but I now have a team in place that manages the different parts, and I trust that they're going to get things done in a timely fashion. It's just up to me to check in at different points and see where we are and what's happening and help bust any blocks or challenges we're encountering and resolve them if they need help resolving them. So it's really been empowering for me to get to this point.
Great. And so for business owners who say, you know, I think I need to fall more on the lead generation side and be a little more visible. How does a book help you scale in that regard? How does that help your efforts?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's been said that a book is the new business card. A book just really positions you as an expert. It's an incredible credibility builder. It's something that impresses people. I think recent stats that I saw, and I wish I could remember the source, but were that about 80% of the population feels they have a book in them. About 1% actually gets the book written and published.
Wow.
So it's a big accomplishment. Yeah, exactly. It's really a big accomplishment to get a book published, to get it written first and then published. And even, you know, if you read what famous writers, prolific writers have written about themselves and their writing, they talk about the painful process that it is and the discipline that it takes. So those wonderful books you read and enjoy were an absolute labor of love to get to where they were to get published.
And is it the same? Does it have the same effect whether it's published by a traditional publishing house versus self-published or print on demand or any of the other newer technologies and delivery services that we have now?
Yeah, great question, Nina. I think the truth of the matter is that all different forms of publication are respected. Most people don't notice the difference. They go to buy a book on Amazon, they're probably not looking at the publisher. Being published by a Wiley & Sons or a respected publisher is certainly a great thing. If you go that route, and it is a more challenging, time-consuming route because you've got to develop a book proposal first and then shop that around and then write the book, work with the publishers to edit it. So it's definitely a different process. There is a certain amount of additional cachet with that, but really, I think nowadays it's fairly less significant. So, you know, unless you feel compelled to do that, to go that route, I don't think it's necessary. Maybe for your second or third book, you might want to go that route. I actually was just talking to a publishing expert colleague of mine yesterday. He was saying, you know, for a second or third book, it's probably a good way to go after that Wiley and Sons or Penguin or whoever is publishing the trade paperbacks for nonprofit, nonfictions. But, you know, it's so easy now to get published yourself on Amazon through Kindle or CreateSpace or on Barnes & Noble that I say go for it.
Great. And how is it that, I mean, it's, when you say a book is the new business card, the thought of, oh my God, what a painful process it is to actually make that happen. How does that truly help you stand out from your competition? Isn't often a tagline enough, or just, you know, being at networking events and being known for what you do?
Again, a great question. Well, picture this. You go to a networking event. Say there are 65 people in the room. Everyone's handing you their business card, and there's one person in the room who hands you their book. Who are you going to remember from that event? You don't even have to read the book, but you're always going to remember the person who had their own published book. That even if they weren't handing it out, if they just had it and they were holding it, you would remember them because no one else in the room had accomplished that. If the book is well written, if it's got a, you know, if it's got a catchy title, if it's got a great looking cover, it helps enhance the brand even further.
And in your own business, you've now found a way to help people extract that genius, but that takes a process as well. Can you talk a little bit about how that process, without giving away your secret sauce, but how did you come to realize, wow, I need a system for doing this if I'm going to help people scale by using a book to stand out from the competition?
The process of writing a book ran into the same kind of challenges and sort of stopping points for my clients that we ran into when we used to build websites early on. People really struggle with writing. They struggle with finding a way to represent themselves in written form. And so it could be that they're staring at a blank page and they haven't even put anything down, or they've gotten started and they keep rejecting drafts, which is actually, that's actually a recommended process by a lot of writing experts or coaches, that you write a draft and tear it up, expect the first draft not to be the right one, but just to start getting practiced in writing about the concept till you get to a final draft, which may, or, you know, maybe three or four drafts later. But it was really stopping people, whether it was that they thought they couldn't write, they were uncomfortable with it, or they just couldn't get started. So what we wanted to do was set them up for success. And we know that almost everyone we encounter enjoys talking, and they really enjoy talking about themselves, and they do a really good job of that. So we thought, why not use that as the foundation for the book? So we've put together a process where we use an interview format. So we're able to extract an expert's genius in their own words. And then, of course, we have to take that and turn that into text and into a format for a book. But that's really the basis of the process. And people are comfortable with talking, comfortable talking about themselves. And of course, they want a book that feels like it's in their words, but maybe a better version of themselves. So that's exactly what we help them create. And it's a fast process, which is really important. You know, they say money loves speed.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. So, you know, from start to finish, we can have a best-selling book produced for them within 60 to 90 days, which is great, without them having to go through the painful part of writing.
It's exciting because it sounds like that can also then be the foundation for many other content opportunities in terms of scaling or repurposing content once they actually get it out of their head and have that clarified and crystallized.
Absolutely. And you also have the audio part that you could use, you know, to put out there as little sound bites or the soundtrack for a short video clip. So you've got a lot that you can work with once you've done those interviews and extracted that genius.
Right. And, you know, I remember reading a long time ago, Ayn Rand had written a book, a nonfiction book called On Writing. And one of the things that she suggested, similar to what you said, was the idea, and I don't remember if these were her words, the vomit out draft. Because she talked a lot about the internal editor and critic that gets into our heads. She said, you can't do both. You can't both create and edit simultaneously. So you need to give yourself that freedom just to bleh and get it out. And then you can go back and shape and reform and tweak the content. So, you know, similar to what you're saying, people often get stuck trying to clarify their genius because sometimes they're not always valuing it or they're being hypercritical and they're trying to do both things at once.
That's a great point. You know, I think we refer to that nowadays as the brain dump.
Yes, that's a nicer way to phrase it than vomit out.
You know, the good news is that there are fabulous editors out there. I liken it to Photoshop. You know, they make us look and sound great. And so we really value our editors.
But getting the book out there is only one piece of that process. I mean, it's an important piece, as I said, because it can be the foundation for other things. But what else goes into making sure that you really are getting the value from using a book to scale your lead generation?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked because, you know, it's a lot the same as publicity. It's like that old adage, if a tree falls in the forest, if there's no one there to hear it, did it make a sound? So you know, it's amazing. I mean, think about it. If you get published, if you get quoted in the New York Times, amazing, fantastic publicity. But what if your new prospect didn't read the Times that day?
Right.
So it didn't happen for all intents and purposes for them. So what you need to do with any press you get, but also with your book, is let people know that it exists and give them an opportunity to purchase it or to download a copy if you're giving it away for free, or to download a chapter so they can get a taste of it. So you really need to let them know that it's coming. First of all, it's great to build some pre-buzz for it before it launches. And then once it's available for people, whether it's on Amazon or just via your own website, to then make sure that they know it's there and to share with them what people have said about it, especially, you know, if you get some endorsements or book reviews from some recognized experts in your industry or, you know, recognized celebrities, then you definitely want to share that with people. They'll be as excited for you about that as you are about it. So you definitely want to share that and use that as leverage. And there's so many places you can put that, you know, simply a few ideas, the signature file of your email. We're all sending lots of emails every day in your profiles on social media. You want to post the fact that you're a published author and perhaps link to your book page, if that's an option on that particular platform. So definitely want to make it visible without being obnoxious about it, mm-hmm. but don't hold back. You know, you should be really proud of that and any accomplishments really, and let people know it, because people typically want to share in your good news, and they, you know, and they wouldn't find out about it sometimes if you don't let them know. So that's part of your job, to let them know. Don't be bashful. Don't think it's not polite to brag. You definitely have bragging rights if you've published a book.
And that's a great point. Don't be bashful, or as I think the Bible says, don't hide your light under a bushel.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. So in terms of working with someone who wants to create a book for their lead generation, what is the process for coming up with the best media topic that they could be writing on? Because very often people have a number of different areas of expertise under their belt. How do you choose which one might have the most bang for the buck?
Great question again. So, you know, many of us are what has been called polypreneurs. We've got a number of different businesses or niches that we work in. And sometimes you just have to choose one. And the way that you might choose is if something is a little bit more perhaps timely than another, if one area of your business is a little more hot than a different one, let's say you're into cloud computing, it might be more hot than if you're doing web development, which has been around for a while, and even though there are updates in web development, not as hot as, you know, cloud computing everyone's been talking about for a while. So you want to go where something is perhaps trending. If there's been something in the news you know, around a topic, if you see a big market opportunity, or if it's someplace that you, your business has the best opportunity, whether it's your biggest ticket sales or an area that you enjoy the most. So it could be a number of factors or one particular factor. And then I think the best books are what we like to call one problem, one solution. Mm-hmm. So trying to focus on solving one problem for your target audience in the book is the best way to go. Not trying to solve a host of problems, but really addressing one big problem that they have that will resonate with them. And the book title can answer that. It can be the solution to their problem. That's a lot of the way that we start out trying to come up with titles. And, you know, there's a science to it, but also speaking in the language of your customer and grabbing their attention. And if it's a problem they've been wrestling with, it is going to grab their attention if they see that your book offers a solution in five easy steps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as a lawyer who often speaks in a completely different language, I know that speaking the language of your customer is absolutely vital. So as we wrap, one question I'm sure a lot of people have is, oh, come on, Jane, really? I'm going to put in all this time and I'm sure, you know, you're top dollar and there's going to be a financial investment. What kind of results can people realistically expect to see for making this kind of investment in scaling their lead generation?
Well, individual results will vary, of course.
Of course. But disclaimer.
Yeah.
But what, or can you talk about some of the success stories that some of your clients have seen as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. So a client of mine, Alzay Calhoun, is a consultant who works with businesses trying to help them become more effective as well as to be more efficient in their messaging, to understand their why. And so he's got a book out called Compelling, How to Attract Your Ideal Customer and Close More Sales. Mm. And the book has been on the bestseller list for, it's been about 6 weeks now since we launched it, which is very exciting. Mm. And Alzay tells me that it's been easier for him to close clients or people who have found him through the book. We saw your book. And the book is, it's what Amazon calls a short read. It's an interview format with him. And it's a very attractive, compelling cover, if I do say so. So he said he's seen a dramatic increase. People react to him differently because of the book. They come pre-sold. They've seen the book. It's immediately given him positioning as a top expert. If they've read it, they really understand his process and they've bought into it. So it's a question of a shorter conversation of someone not just trying to find out more about what he does, but okay, how do I sign up?
That's great. I mean, in terms of scaling and being able to do more, that not only frees up your time, but also weeds out a lot of the tire kickers.
Exactly. And you know, what he's seeing and what I've experienced with other authors is that people come to them expecting to pay top dollar. So they're not looking to either negotiate your price or question it because they already see you as this top expert. They know you're going to be charging a premium price and they've come to you, okay, I want you, I want that. I'm prepared to pay the price, which is really a game changer.
Absolutely. To reduce the price resistance and stop haggling.
Exactly. And, you know, the other thing that a number of my authors have seen is that they get speaking invites. People start to say, we'd love you to come talk about the book or the experience of writing the book. And there's nothing like getting in front of your target audience for picking up clients and not going in and doing a sales pitch, just being the speaker, whether it's a small room or a larger room. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, Nina, but you are totally in a different position in the room as a speaker instead of just an attendee.
Absolutely.
You're the celebrity in the room. So people are attracted. You know, we are in a very celebrity-obsessed culture, so people are immediately attracted to you. They want to take a picture with you, a selfie, what have you. And they want to find out about working with you, connecting with you on social media, all sorts of good things like that. So that's the next thing that starts to happen as an author. And if you are interested in more speaking engagements, if you were to approach a conference planner or event planner and say, you know, I'd love to speak. Here's a copy of my book. I could speak about the book, or I've got three other topics. It's also another way that your credibility is instantly established and you're positioned as an expert with these conference planners and event planners, or it could be an in-house corporate team if you're looking to do some corporate training. So it definitely opens those kind of doors as well and positions you for more opportunities at a higher rate, which is pretty great.
It's wonderful. And particularly to your point about speaking engagements, when you're in that room in front of people who enjoy that cult of celebrity, they're already coming in wanting to be connected with you in some way. So there's almost a level of pre-selling, even though you're not necessarily selling.
Exactly.
And for anyone who's on the introvert scale, I have both hands raised. That ability to be there, to be of service, to give, to share the information and have it land with people who are there because they wanted it, makes it just a lot easier to close that kind of sale than be in the hard pitch kind of environment where, hey, my program is $1,000, but I'll give it to you today for $997, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to do any of that. As you said, you know, they arrive pre-sold. They've already gotten some marketing background on you that, you know, they've gotten the promo for the event. So they've decided to come because of either the topic, you or both. And it's really a wonderful thing. It removes so much of the friction to doing business. And I think the unpleasantness that a lot of us feel, the resistance or the unpleasant aspects of our business that we don't enjoy. And I think it just makes it more enjoyable.
You know, that's a great phrase, removing the friction to doing business and essentially to doing sales. So last question I have for you, Jane, is does it make a difference or have you seen a difference depending on whether it's a single author book, I alone am writing it, or whether it's a compilation of essays that I'm doing with other people? When is the right time for each of those kinds of books? Or is there a right time?
Yeah. I mean, I think a great way to get started as an author can be to be a contributor, whether it's a chapter or, you know, a case study or some smaller section of a larger book with multiple contributors. That is a great way to get started, whether it's a question of your time or your budget. And from there, you can go on to doing a solo book. If all you ever do is, I shouldn't phrase it that way. It's great to be a contributor to a book. So if you choose to go the route of contributing to a multi-author or multi-contributor book, awesome. I highly recommend it. If you can go for your own solo book, I would say there's a slightly better cachet for it and a little bit more leverage you can probably extract out of it. But I think they both are really valuable tools in your business and your business growth.
Okay, terrific. Well, it sounds like there's a lot to think about in terms of using a book to scale your lead generation. It not only really helps you extract your genius so that you can repurpose that content in other forms, but there are a lot of positive financial results, including pre-selling clients, immediate positioning as an expert, and less haggling over price, which is all great stuff. So Jane, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.